felt, and...
You lie! There were no witnesses. We made... There was nothing to witness. I heard someone in the dark, but there was no one there. There couldn't have been anyone seeing anything!
Screamed the Duke. His wife scowled at him.
Do shut up, Lionel,
she said.
I think within these four walls we can dispense with that sort of thing.
Who told her? Did you tell her?
And calm down. No one told her. She's a witch, for goodness sake. They find out about these things. Second glance or something.
Sight, said Nanny.
Witch, you will not possess much longer, my good woman, unless you tell us who else knows, and indeed assist us on a number of other matters,
said the Duchess grimly.
And you will do so, believe me, I am skilled in these things.
Nanny glanced around the dungeon. It was beginning to get crowded. King Verence was bursting with such angry vitality that he was very nearly apparent, and was furiously trying to get a grip on a knife. But there were others behind, wavering, broken shapes, not exactly ghosts but memories, implanted in the very substance of the walls themselves by sheer pain and terror.
My own dagger! The bastards! They killed me with my own dagger!
Said the ghost of King Verence silently, raising his transparent arms and imploring the netherworld in general to witness this ultimate humiliation.
Give me strength!
Yes, said Nanny. It's worth a try.
And now we will commence, said the Duchess.
What? Said the guard.
I said... said McGrath. I've come to sell my lovely apples. Don't you listen?
There's not a sale on, is there?
The guard was extremely nervous since his colleague had been taken off to the infirmary. He hadn't taken the job in order to deal with this sort of thing. It dawned on him.
You're not a witch, are you?
He said, fumbling awkwardly with his pike.
Of course not. Do I look like one?
The guard looked at her occult bangles, her lined cloak, her trembling hands and her face. The face was particularly worrying. McGrath had used a lot of powder to make her face pale and interesting. It combined with the lavishly applied mascara to give the guard the impression that he was looking at two flies that had crashed into a sugar bowl. He found his fingers wanted to make a sign to ward off the evil eyeshadow.
Right,
he said uncertainly. His mind was grinding through the problem. She was a witch. Just lately there'd been a lot of gossip about witches being bad for your health. He'd been told not to let witches pass, but no one had said anything about apple sellers. Apple sellers were not a problem. It was witches that were the problem. She'd said she was an apple seller, and he wasn't about to doubt a witch's word. Feeling happy with this application of logic, he stood to one side and gave an expansive wave.
Pass, apple seller.
He said.
Thank you, said McGrath sweetly. Would you like an apple?
No, thanks. I haven't finished the one the other witch gave me.
His eyes rolled.
Not a witch. Not a witch. An apple seller. An apple seller. She ought to know.
How long ago was this?
Just a few minutes.
Granny Weatherwax was not lost. She wasn't the kind of person who ever became lost. It was just that, at the moment... while she knew exactly where she was, she didn't know the position of anywhere else. Currently, she had arrived in the kitchens again, precipitating a breakdown in the cook, who was trying to roast some celery. The fact that several people had tried to buy apples from her wasn't improving her temper. McGrath found her way to the great hall, empty and deserted at this time of day, except for a couple of guards who were playing dice. They wore the tabards of Felmet's own personal bodyguard, and stopped their game as soon as she appeared.
Well, well, said one leering. Come to keep us company, have you, my pretty?
No one knows why men say things like this. Any minute now, he is probably going to say he likes a girl with spirit.
I was looking for the dungeons, said McGrath, to whom the words